Mark and I would agree that we're not, as a church, under the Old Testament law today. We're under the New Testament. But I want to begin by going back to the Old Testament and showing from the Bible that in the Old Testament time, homosexuality was condemned by the Bible. For example, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." Leviticus 20, verse 13 says about the same thing. "If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman," as he lies with a woman would mean, well, in other words, sexually. Suppose you just went on a trip somewhere and you just meant to save money in the hotel room and they slept in the same bed, but there was nothing sexually there. He's not talking about that. He's talking about lying with them as you would a woman, in other words, sexually. If you do that, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So homosexual relations were called abomination. That is definitely a word for meaning sinful. Now, not only were they condemned in the Old Testament, not only was this practice condemned in the Old Testament, I'm going to say something to you here that I'm going to have to be frank with you, but I will try to be kind. Not only was homosexuality condemned in the Old Testament, but it is compared with bestiality. Now, I'm going to mispronounce that so you'll know what that word means. I'm going to say it wrong, incorrectly. Bestiality. That meant having sex with an animal. Man or a woman having sex with a horse or a dog or something like that. And it's practically the very same breath in the Old Testament when they condemned homosexuality. In the very same breath, then was condemned bestiality or bestiality. They were put on par. There was a parallel. They were both wrong. Remember Leviticus 18, 22, we just read, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind, but with womankind. It is abomination." The next verse says, "Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion." He's saying, homosexuality, it's wrong for a man to lie with a man. He's talking about sexually. Just like it's wrong for a man to lie with a beast. He's talking about sexually. The other verse I already brought up, Leviticus 20, verse 13, "If a man also lie with mankind, if he lies with a woman, both of them have committed," "an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, you shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." So really, again, I say this with all the love I have and all the kindness I have, homosexuality is no better than having sex with an animal, according to the Bible. Now, can you see why I oppose this practice? Now, having said that, I want to tell you why I'm here. Why am I here? I'm here because I love you and want the best for you. I'm here because I want to learn from you about this issue. I always keep an open mind on every issue. I'm here because I want to have and want you to have a proper relationship with God, and I feel it's necessary to live according to the Bible to have a right relationship with God, and homosexuality does not fall in that category. I'm here to study with you about the Bible, about what the Bible really says about this subject. Not what we want. Not, this is our practice, this is what we want, so find a translation that won't condemn us. Not what I want. Like I said last night on the subject of women preachers, if it were up to me, I would allow women preachers, but it's not up to me. We're going to try to find out what the Bible really says. I'm here because I want to be saved, and I want you to be saved. Go to heaven. I am here to ask you to repent of this sin. Please do not shoot the messenger. Peter. Galatians 4:16, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" So just because I tell you what the Bible says, tell you what the truth is, please don't let me become your enemy. I do not intend to be your enemy. I say this, I come here because I love you. If I didn't love you, I would have stayed home with my kids tonight, 2 hours away. I made an effort to come down here because I love people's souls, and in particular, the people I'm trying to preach to tonight. This is what the Bible clearly says. Now, last night, this is the way the debate ran. I want you to see if you agree with me. This is the way it's going to run tonight. I basically quoted what the Bible said last night. Said, this is what it says. This is what it means. It's pretty plain. Large then had to work and work and struggle and struggle to try to get around what the verses in the Bible said. Now, you don't have to answer out loud, but just answer honestly in your mind. Wasn't that really what happened last night? I would quote the verse and say, this is what the Bible teaches. It means what it says. And Marge would say, oh, no, that's not true. And she would work and try to figure out a way to get around what the Bible clearly says. It was pretty clear what it said. Now, I'm telling you tonight it's going to be the same way. These verses are the same way. It's just as clear. They're going to say homosexuality is wrong. And unless Marge just simply agrees and changes her position, she's going to have to work and work and try to get around what they plainly say. Let's now go to the New Testament, because that's our law for today. In Romans 1, verses 24 and 26 through 27, it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat. Now, what's the expression, I didn't fall off a turnip truck yesterday? Unless you fell off a turnip truck yesterday, it's easy to see that verse 26 is describing lesbianism, and verse 27 is describing the male homosexual relationship, what we call gay. Notice the terms that are used to refer to homosexuality here. Uncleanness, dishonor, vile, change the natural use. Not only is homosexuality a sin, it's against nature. Not all sins are against nature, but this one is. Leaving the natural use, unseemly, error. Homosexuality here is condemned along with fornication, wickedness, murder, deceit, haters of God, verses 29 through 31. Are these things okay? Are they all right? Or are they wrong? Well, then homosexuality is wrong. I wonder if Marge will also deny that these sins are, these other things down here, fornication, wickedness, and murder, are wrong. Next, let's go to another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Now, I normally read from the Old King James Version, as we understood last night, but I've got a newer translation for you in some of these passages. This is from the New King James Version. It reads, do you not, and it's very modern, within 20, 25 years ago was when the translation was done. Somebody here probably knows the exact year. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, neither homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, will inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, homosexuals, sodomites, and we'll explain the difference in the two Greek words there in a moment, they will not go to heaven. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. This first word that's translated homosexuals in the footnote in the New King James Version, it says, catamites, those submitting to homosexuals. That's the ones taking on the female role. And then the sodomites there, the Greek word translated sodomites, the footnote has male homosexuals. That would be the one taking on the male role. So 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 condemns both types of homosexuals. Now let's look at that first word. This is the Greek word, malakoi. In that New King James translation, it was translated homosexuals. In the Old King James, it was translated effeminate. It's interesting that back in 1611, when this was translated, the word homosexual had not been coined yet. I think some psychiatrists maybe coined it first in the early 1900s. So before 1900, whenever the word was coined, you won't find any translations with that word in there because the word wasn't coined yet. But these Greek words, that's what they meant, though. Everybody knew that's what they meant. That's how they're defined. Now, in the newer translations, you will see that modern word in there. This is the Greek word. Paul condemned those described as malakoi, homosexuals in the New King James, effeminate in the King James Version, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. John Stott, in his book on homosexual marriage, written in 1985, he's describing what this word meant. He said it meant males, not necessarily boys, who play the passive role in homosexual intercourse. Remember, I said the one that takes what I call the female role. Now, here's how the word is defined, and by the way, the Greek word is Strong 3120, Marge. Art and Gingrich, And that's another name for the Bauer Tanker Lexicon. It's among the most highly respected dictionaries of biblical Greek. Now, we're defining the Greek words, not the English words here, the Greek, what's in the original text, and we're taking the most respected dictionaries for these Greek words. He says it means effeminate, especially as catamites. That's a homosexual. Men and boys who allow themselves to be misused homosexually. And then Thayer, Mr. Thayer was a professor of New Testament criticism in the Harvard Divinity School, 1884 to 1901. He says it means effeminate, of a catamite, a male who submits his body to unnatural lewdness. Strong's defines this as a catamite, effeminate, soft.
Feminine.
Wygram Green, effeminate, specifically as of homosexual males. And then the second word is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, arsenokleistai. That's the one translated in the old King James Version, abusers of themselves of mankind, the new King James, that had sodomite. Paul condemned those described as arsenokleistai in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. It's translated homosexuals in the New American Standard Version, done, I think, maybe in the 1960s. Abusers of themselves with mankind in the King James. It's also in 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, we'll talk about that in a moment, that homosexuals in the New American Standard. Again, John Stott, in defining the word, says the Greeks use this expression to describe the one who took the active role. I hope we all know what we're talking about here. This word is defined by Thayer as one who lies with a male as with a female, a sodomite. Arden Gingrich, a male homosexual, heterist, sodomite, strong, a sodomite, Wygram Green, male homosexual, sodomite. These are all people defining the Greek word for us. Lexington, meaning defining the Greek word but giving the definition in the English so we'll know the definition of the Greek word. Here's the way this word is translated. New American Standard, homosexuals. New King James Version, sodomites. Simple English, homosexuals, Green interlinear, homosexuals. Then, I'll just let you read the chart. Sodomites, partakers in homosexuality, those who participate in homosexuality, homosexualists, and men who practice sodomy. You can read what translations we're talking about there. I'm establishing with Bible dictionaries and translations what these two words mean. They mean homosexual, the male and the female role. It's indisputable what they mean. And the Bible says the people who practice those things, commit those things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't go to heaven. Now, we mentioned one of these words is also in 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, which reads, and this is from the simple English New Testament. I think this probably was done around the year 2000. If not in the 1990s, it's a very modern translation. It says, we also know this, the law was not made for a good man, but for people who are lawless, rebels, ungodly, sinners, unholy, not religious, father killers, mother killers, murderers, sexual sinners, homosexuals, slave traders, liars, and those who break promises. These and other things are against the healthy teaching as found in the glorious gospel of the blessed God which he trusted to me. So that verse also condemns homosexuals. The New American Standard Version translates this in 1 Timothy 1 verse 10, homosexuals, the New King James, sodomites, the Living Bible, homosexuals. So 1 Timothy 1:10 condemns homosexual relations just like it condemns father killers or slave traders. That's wrong. Liars. All of those sins are wrong. And then I'd like you to turn to Matthew 19, verses 4 and 5. This is what Jesus said. He says, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Notice that. Male and female. Now, he didn't say husband and wife, which Marge can equivocate on, I think, and claim that a female can be a husband. This is saying male and female. He says, this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So when God defined marriage, he defined it as between male and female. And that was from the very beginning, from Genesis 2:24, Adam and Eve. That's the way marriage is defined by the Bible. We have a lot of controversy going in our political world about whether or not we should allow homosexual marriage. Well, if we allow that, we're going to be allowing something that Jesus didn't allow. If people say, well, the definition of marriage ought to be male and female, they're right. That's the way Jesus defined it in Matthew 19, 4 and 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, it says, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Not to avoid fornication, let a man have another man, or a woman have another woman. Next, I would like us to turn back to 1 Corinthians 6. Now, we've already talked a good bit about 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. But I'd like to turn back there and notice something very important that we didn't go over. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, you remember it's where it says that in the New King James, it says the homosexuals and the sodomites, it goes on to say, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God in verse 10. But in verse 11, referring to those who have been guilty of homosexuality and the other sins that are listed here, it says, and such were
some of you. Now, there's other sins here besides homosexuality. As we pointed out, there's fornicators, there's thieves, drunkards. So these are not, homosexuality is not the only sin committed here.
5 minutes.
But he's talking to these Corinthians, and he's saying, such were some of you. Now, that's past tense. Underline the word were, past tense. That means that they weren't homosexuals anymore. This shows these people stopped their homosexual lifestyle when they repented and became Christians. And you know what that proves? That proves that people today can stop this sin, and people should stop this sin. You say we have the claim that homosexuals are born that way, therefore they can't stop it. But this verse says, such were some of you. He says, but now you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. So when they repented and became Christians, and Acts 2:38 points out that you have to do, repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. They repented of this sin, and they stopped this sin. What the gays are saying is impossible to do, they did. They stopped it. And then they were forgiven of that sin. A homosexual can be forgiven. A murderer can be forgiven. A homosexual can certainly be forgiven if they're willing to stop the sin. Of course, it's the Metropolitan Community Church's contention that homosexuals, as I said, can't help but stop their practice because they're born that way. If this is so, then 1 Corinthians 6:11 proves that people are not born that way. If it's true that if you're born that way, it's impossible to stop, then if we can show from the Bible that people did stop, that proves that people are not born that way. But you know, we already learned that it was true that people are not born that way from Romans chapter 21, from Romans 1, 26 and 27. When it said, and we'll try to read this verse in its entirety in a moment again, but it says that it changed the natural use, went against nature. That's in verse 26. Verse 27, likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman. In other words, as I pointed out before, homosexuality is not only a sin, it was unnatural, against nature. Adultery is a sin when a man goes and has relations with another man's wife. But when he does that, he's fulfilling a natural urge that he has in his body, that he's born with. So it's not unnatural, but it is a sin. Don't let me de-emphasize the fact that it's a sin. But I'm just trying to show you how the difference in homosexuality and adultery. Homosexuality is not only a sin, but it's unnatural. It's against nature. Now, I'll be frank again. A little blunt here. Please forgive me, but I want to make sure you understand the point. I was debating a preacher one time named Holger Neubauer. This was not the topic, but he for some reason just came up and he mentioned this particular phrase, and I think it helps us to see what the Bible means by unnatural. He said, the body parts don't fit. When you're doing plumbing under your house, you have the male and the female. We all understand how it works. Homosexuality, the body parts don't fit. Even a person, if he did not have the Bible, you could tell there's a God because of the moon up there. Man couldn't have created it, therefore there must be a God. You could tell that homosexuality is wrong even without the Bible because the body parts don't fit. It's unnatural. Now, I love you people. I would not have come here. I'm telling you this because I love you. And I want you to repent, just like if you see me do anything that I need to repent of. Your love for me, you would. If you love me, you'll tell me, you need to repent of this, Pat. Because we love each other, we want all of us to go to heaven. We need to reprove and correct each other. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, I'm encouraging you to be like these Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. I'm encouraging you to be like these Corinthians and stop practicing homosexuality. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I love your souls and want you to see heaven. You can avoid God's judgment for practicing homosexuality by simply repenting of it and quitting the sin. I urge you to do so. You can't be forgiven as long as you continue the practice.
1 minute.
Let's go back and read, in my last minute, let's go back and read Romans 1, 24, 26 and 27. And I'll just leave that passage with you. As I said, I think it's more effective for me just to read the verse and let you hear it than me to say anything, really. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That's obviously lesbianism. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly,
and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is me. God bless you. I love you. I urge you to accept what the Bible clearly says on this topic.